children during house service, continuing until the end of February. Our children's ministries start back again in February, so I encourage you to keep them in the service. If the kids ask questions about what I'm saying or what I'm doing, I encourage you to explain it to them there and then, and not wait until the after the service. So it's a good opportunity to decide your children in the service as you continue there. We're continuing our series on prayer, looking at the different prayers, and that song, The Stand, is a fitting song to have as we get to today's prayer. And today's prayer is a prayer that Solomon prayed, King Solomon. It's a prayer that it brings joy. It's a prayer that brings peace and contentment. So take hear it and pray it. I think it was a prayer that really encouraged the nation of Israel. We've looked at different prayers over the last couple of weeks. The first prayer we looked at was a prayer of Moses, this prayer in conversation that Moses had as he was speaking to God, hearing from God, and responding, that real prayer. We looked at a prayer last week from Hannah, that prayer where she clearly knew and understood who God was, and she declared the depths and the wonderful truth of who God was back to him, and that trust and depth that they had in their relationship was incredible. Today we're looking at Solomon. Now, a prayer and even like a relationship with God, it requires a response from us. Prayer and a relationship with God requires a response. The gift of salvation that God offers to us is free, but we are the ones that choose to respond. And our response is a response of repentance, asking God to forgive us for what we have done. And to bring about salvation, God delivers that forgiveness to us. If forgiveness comes from God, not from an act in which we do. And our response to that forgiveness should be a reverent fear of God, an honor and respect. Now, last week we spoke about Hannah, and Hannah was the mother of Samuel. We talked about that amazing birth and that story and the blessing from God through Samuel. Now, Samuel was the one who anointed King David. First King Saul, and then King David was anointed. And one of the sons of David was King Samuel, and that's who we come to today. Now, Solomon had a key role in his early kingship. David prepared the way for it, but God wouldn't allow David to build the temple of God, this magnificent temple structure that I wish we had today. It's magnificent, but I know why God allowed it to be destroyed. But this temple was magnificent, and it was King Solomon's early role in his kingship to put this temple together, to build it. That magnificent temple is built and recorded the dimensions and the descriptions of that as we have in the Bible. We're going to look at 2 Chronicles today, so if you want to turn to that, if you have it in front of you or on your phone. Chapter 6, verses 12 to 42. We're going to tackle a large chunk of scripture because there's a large prayer that is recorded. But I hope that it would be beneficial as you do it. I don't have it on the screen today, so you'll have to bring it up. Just listen and maybe close your eyes as you hear it. Verses 12, it says, "Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the entire community of Israel. He lifted his hands in prayer. Now Solomon had made a bronze platform, 7.5 feet long, 7.5 feet wide, and 4.5 feet high. He placed it in the center of the temple, outer courtyard. He stood on the platform, and there he knelt in front of the entire community of Israel. And he lifted his hands towards heaven, and he prayed, O Lord, God, Israel. There is no God like you in all of heaven and earth. You keep your covenant and show unfailing love to all who walk before you in wholehearted devotion. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. You made that promise with your own mouth, and with your own hands you have fulfilled it today. And now, O Lord, God of Israel, carry out the additional promise you made to your servant David, my father. For you said to him, if your descendants guard their behavior and faithfully follow my law, as you have done, one of them will always sit on the throne of Israel. Now, O Lord, God of Israel, fulfill this promise to your servant David. But will God really live on earth among people? Why, even the highest heavens cannot contain it. How much less this temple I have built? Nevertheless, listen to my prayer and my plea. O Lord my God, hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is making to you. May you watch over this temple day and night, this place where you have said you would put your name. May you always hear the prayers I make toward this place. May you hear the humble and earnest requests from me and your people Israel when they pray towards this place. Yes, hear us from heaven where you live, and when you hear, forgive. If someone wrongs another person and is required to take an oath of innocence in front of your altar at this temple, then hear from heaven and judge between your servants, the accuser and the accused. Pay back the guilty as they deserve. Acquit the innocent because of their innocence. If your people Israel are defeated by their enemies because they have sinned against you, and if they turn back and acknowledge your name and pray to you here in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and return them to this land you gave them and to their ancestors. If the skies are shut up and there is no rain, because your people have sinned against you, and if they pray towards this temple and acknowledge your name and turn from their sins because you have punished them, then hear from heaven and forgive their sins of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them to follow the right path and send rain on your land that you have given to your people as their special possession. If there is famine in this land, or a plague, or a crop disease, or attacks of locusts, or caterpillars, or if the people's enemies are in the land besieging their towns, whatever disaster or disease there is, and if your people, Israel, pray about their troubles or sorrow, raising their hands towards heaven, towards this temple, then hear from heaven, where you live, and forgive. Give your people what their actions deserve, for you alone know each human heart. Then they will fear you and walk in your ways as long as they live in the land you gave to our ancestors. In the future, foreigners who do not belong to your people Israel, we hear of you. They will come from distant lands when they hear of your great name and your strong hand and your powerful arm. And when they pray towards this temple, hear from heaven where you live, and grant what they ask of you. In this way, all the people of the earth will come to know and fear you, just as the people of Israel do. They, too, will know that this temple I have built honors your name. If your people go out where you send them to fight their enemies, and if they pray to you by turning toward this city you have chosen and towards this temple I have built to honor your name, then hear their prayers from heaven and uphold their cause. If they sin against you, and who has never sinned, you might become angry with them and let their enemies conquer them and take them captive to a foreign land, far away or near. that in their land of exile they might turn to you in repentance and pray, "We have sinned, done evil, and acted wickedly." If they turn to you with their whole heart and soul in the land of their captivity, and pray towards the land you gave to their ancestors, towards this city that you have chosen, and towards this temple I have built to honor your name, then hear their prayers and their petitions from heaven where you live, and uphold their cause. Forgive the people who have sinned against you. O my God, may your enemies be open and your ears attentive to all the prayers made to you in this place. And now arise, O Lord God, and enter this resting place, along with the ark, the symbol of your power. May your priests, O Lord, be clothed with salvation, and may your loyal servants rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, do not reject the king you have anointed. Remember your unfailing love for your servant David. Cool, big chunk of scripture there. I don't normally read a big chunk of that, but I thought it was essential, I think, for what God is sharing with you today to really sit in that. I hope you heard some common phrases and different things in that, because we're going to go there. It's important to note that the Bible is quite descriptive in the posture and the position of the way in which Solomon prayed. You see that he made this little kind of structure. He went amongst the people into the outer court. He didn't pray from up near the altar. He didn't pray from up higher. He didn't pray from a distance. But Solomon went amongst his people. Solomon is the king of Israel. One of the most wisest and strongest, one of the most powerful kings that Israel had. And here he is amongst his people. He's elevated on a bit of a platform. But still, as he goes onto that platform, he kneels down. He spreads his arms wide and kneels down. He kneels down amongst his people and prays to God. He kneels and prays. Now, if somebody's going to take him out and kill him, that's the moment. He's vulnerable. He's not standing up. He's not ready to attack. But it's that relationship that you start to see that Solomon has. There's a trust. I'm not going to stand up high and mighty, but I'm going to humble myself amongst my people and pray and plead on behalf of them. Plead for their sins. Plead for the nation of Israel. For those who are coming. That is the posture that he comes. You see, as he starts his prayer, he declares who God is. There is no God like him. Just like Hannah in her prayer, he knows who God is. The relationship he has with God is strong. He knows who God is. He knows the covenants, that is the promises, that God had given to his ancestors. He'd been taught them, they'd been passed on. He knows and understands these things. And he continues to thank God for them. And he continues to ask God to fulfill the promises that keep coming. Now these promises, these covenants, not all were unconditional covenants. Some of the covenants that they had, the promises that God had made for them, were conditional upon Israel's their response, the way in which they would respond to God. Unlike salvation that we have, the salvation we receive, it's unconditional. The new covenant is an unconditional covenant. And the covenants that they had back then, some of them were conditional upon their obedience. So he prays into that, praying that God would fulfill them as they are obedient to him. Keep the promise. Never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. Now, for those who know our Bible knowledge and know the history of what happens, it's a bit of a grim kind of picture that happens after that. There's almost a messianic kind of this magnificent temple, this huge, glorious temple, covered in gold and the finest material, cedars, the timber from Lebanon. They've kind of built it over, and all these magnificent kind of things. And it's one of the most impressive buildings that they have here. And he's still asking the question, will God even dwell? But if God doesn't even contain in the highest of heavens, how can you even be amongst us in this place? How could God's Spirit really dwell, understanding the greatness and the mighty of who God is? The church is humble. There's an expectation that God will hear. God will hear his prayers. God will hear when we pray towards God. And then he starts to go through various situations. He starts to talk about those who are guilty or innocent, sort of judging between various servants. He starts to go when, in defeat. Defeated because we don't listen to you. When we pray towards this place, we'll hear from heaven and forgive us our sin. When the heaven is shut and there's no rain, and we pray towards this place, hear from heaven and forgive us. And you see that sense of repentance there. This is what the nation of Israel are practicing. This is what he is asking. It's that when we turn away from our own ways and we turn towards you and hear us, forgive us, and we will give glory and honor and reverence for you, Lord. He continues to ask that during famine, plague, when enemies attack, disasters, Lord, hear from heaven. Teach us to walk in obedience with you, so that even through these times, we can honor you. Even opens up a prayer to foreigners, those who are not part of the nation of Israel, is that when these people come into contact with you, come into contact with your temple, your dwelling place, that they may actually experience who you are, the power of the Holy Spirit. Same thing happens when the Holy Spirit we interact with those who don't know God in our community. There's a connection. They can sense something. His prayer is that they may acknowledge who God is in this place. They may see what God has done, the majesty of the temple. See what God has done. And they may give glory and honor to his name. And more, when they turn to God, they bless them. That God would hear from heaven. In sin, our church here is not the temple. We may have a church made of Rockhampton Baptist Tabernacle, but we're not even a tabernacle. We're not a moving tent. LifePoint may be a tabernacle. But we are not a tabernacle. We are a church. We don't pray towards this place. God's Spirit doesn't dwell in the Holy of Holies within this place. As people of the New Covenant, as people, as followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So that as we pray, it's in a similar way with this one, where it's pray towards temple, pray towards God's Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit lives within us. So we don't have to pray to a certain direction. Some faiths and religions that they've got to pray to a certain direction because that's where they believe God dwells. And God is a living God and He lives within us. So we pray as if He lives within us. And then we pray that God will hear us, that He would hear from heaven, that the Holy Spirit would translate our prayers and convey them to God. That is our relationship. That is the shift that has changed. We don't have to go to a place. We have that opportunity. We have the opportunity to pray for others around us. Foreigners, pray for our own city, pray for our nation as disease and various things come against us. We have the opportunity to pray. You see, here is that a relationship with God that is essential for our effective prayer life. You see this continual relationship that sometimes during whatever challenge comes our way, we need to repent, we need to turn back to God. Not to receive salvation because we have already received that, we do that once and for all time, but just to turn back to God to rekindle our relationship. Turn back to God to draw our relationship back together. And God will forgive us. And God will hear our prayer. Receive salvation and not really have a relationship with God. The gift is there, but I implore you that having a relationship with God in prayer and becoming deeper and growing deeper with God, the joy of that is incredible. The joy of knowing and hearing where God is going. Being part of a community of faith like we have here and just seeing what God is doing in this place is relationship that you have with God is essential as you're hearing from God. The relationship that we have with God collectively is important to that as well, as the church. And so, in prayer, as we are in relationship with God, sometimes we'll pray in private places, in our own quiet time. And that's essential for you to grow deeply with God. So I encourage you to do that this year. Find some time in certain moments of the day, quiet and surrender, and keep the relationship you have with God. But we also pray as groups as well. That if you're part of a growth group, or you're part of a group that meets of friends, or various other groups we have amongst our church, we pray as a small group. Grow deeper in our relationship. But we also pray as we come together as a prayers offered, the grace that's received through worship and prayer is also important to our relationship, strengthening our relationship. And being part of that and inviting into that public prayer is important. So this morning, as we close, I composed a prayer that I thought was fitting. Solomon prayed that I've asked a few people to have input in, and I've received some input and composed it to see what God is delivering us this year. And so we're going to take a moment as we finish to pray this prayer, and I'm going to pray on behalf of the people. I don't have a little bridge here without possibly a little bit of the stuff that I've seen that disobeyed who you were. But you put a plan of salvation in for us, your people. You kept your plan through Noah, through Abraham, through the judges, through the kings, Lord, in exile, in disobedience and obedience, you remain kept in your plan. The period of silence, you kept your plan, and through Jesus, you delivered salvation. Lord, your plan continues today with us. Hold and keep your promise with us. Your message of salvation that is delivered. Your church to the ends of the earth. Lord, the heavens can't contain you. But in your spirit cannot contain us. Lord, you just raise up in us. Lord, you choose to dwell and live within us. Is that your glory living in us as sinful? Lord, give attention. Judge between right and wrong. Lord, bring judgment upon the guilty according to what they did. But bring restoration to those who have been redeemed. Go before us in the battles and the struggles we face. And if we fail or fall due to our sins, Lord, redeem us. Lord, when we turn back, Lord, allow us to give praise. Lord, hear our prayer and forgive our sins. Lord, hear from heaven. Bring us back into deep relationship with you. When we are in or our failings, we sin, and we repent and give praise to you. Once again, pour blessing on us. Continue to pour blessing. Teach us your ways. But when disaster, when disease, or opposition comes against us, Lord, hear our prayer. Hear from heaven. Hear our plea. Forgive us. Help us walk with obedience. Lord, give us our daily bread. Lord, as you gave the people in your hands, supply our needs. Help us to live in relationship with you. Lord, we pray for those who are lost. Lord, those who don't know you. Part of this community that are ready or in our prayers. Lord, those who have not yet received salvation through Jesus, Lord, we pray that you would use us to deliver that message effectively and with wisdom beyond what we can understand. Lord, build your church as you promised you would. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, we know that we have formed you. Let us try. But you always pray. Lord, hear our prayers. Hear from heaven. Bless our church so that we may learn to be the church and flourish. Continue to show us. Continue to help us rely upon your Holy Spirit. Through thankfulness, repentance, and sanctification. We thank you for those who have joined our church. Lord, allow them to grow in deep relationship. discover how they can participate. From heaven, hear our prayer. Bless the show. Lead us to what we focus on. Worship team back up here. Now the children are heading back to school this week, so it's very exciting. Can I get all the children to come down the front? We're going to pray over you. Ask all them to pray. All the children to come down if you feel comfortable to stand down the front here. Come on, run down. We know you've got lots of energy.
If you're a high schooler and it's not cool, stand up where you are, please.
Yeah, come on down the front. Come on.
If you're a teacher, a chaplain, teacher aide, person who works in a school with children, stand where you are. Be brave. Come on, stand up.
Come on.
I'm standing because I do.
Oh.
Fall. I don't know if you go to work tomorrow if I do that. That's tempting. So guys, you need to stand. We're not sitting. We're not passive here. We're standing. We're going to pray. Lord God, we love these children and we know you love them even more than we do. We pray as they go out this week into school that you will strengthen their minds, that you will give them clear ways to learn the things that they need to know for their future. We pray that you will surround them with friends who are good friends, people who will lead them on the right paths. We pray that you will strengthen them and help them to be brave and to stand up for what they believe in as they go about their days. We pray for teachers and workers with children that you will give us the words to say and the courage to speak to these children we work with each day. Lord, we pray over every child of this city. We know that through RI we touch thousands of children in this city every week. And Lord, we pray that whoever ministers to these kids in the name of Jesus, that they will do so with a heart that wants to glorify you. Lord, we pray that you will give these guys excellent teachers, that the children of our church will know and learn what they need to be following your plan into their futures. We pray, Lord, that you will give teachers clarity about what to teach. We pray that you will give each of us a heart for the kids as a teacher and as a worker with children, the heart for the children we work with. Lord, give us the words to say when we need to say them. Lord, we pray over every person in this place today who is going out tomorrow into the world where they will not necessarily be loved or treasured, but we know, Lord, that you love them, you treasure them, and we pray, Lord, that you will protect them. We pray over them and put the blood of Jesus over every child when we work out in this place with children today. And we pray against the works of the devil, and we tell you that you're not allowed to touch these kids. That these kids are yours. That will never change. Lord, we thank you that we can worship you, that we know without a doubt that these children are yours. And Lord, we thank you for the things that they do, the joy that they